This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The headline from Europe, G7 says Russia oil price cap to be ready in the coming weeks. Subhead, officials likely to set fixed figure rather than floating rate. What does this mean about Russia's economy? It doesn't sound positive, but it's certainly complicated, which is why I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's been my guide on the Russian economy sinking since February. And Michael has mentioned in particular this plan by the G7 and by European Union to stop purchasing Russian oil, chiefly seaborne oil. There's no pipeline of note here like there is for natural gas. To stop purchasing it in Europe, but also to set a cap for anybody outside of the reach of the EU. Michael, it's about time. It's at hand. The cap is not fixed yet, but it'll be considerably lower than the market forces. How does it work? What will this do to Russia's ability to pay for its conflict? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And this will probably cut off 2 million barrels a day from Russian oil revenues. They will probably sell some of it via different channels. There are loopholes in the whole process because oil that is loaded before December the 5th and takes time on the on shipping and unloaded before January the 19th will be not subject to it. So they will have a couple of months of respite on this. But generally, they will lose tens of billions of dollars in oil revenues and, of course, in tax revenues. And their tax revenues from oil and gas are already declining. Just today, there was a report that actually the tax revenues from oil and gas are down by 44% from March to September 2022. So the time of high oil prices, high natural gas prices, and high revenues is over.
And the cap, once it's set, as I understand it, this will be the price to be paid by nations seeking to do business with Russia who are not in the EU and want to continue to buy. Will it be enforced, this cap? What are the penalties if you ignore the cap or play games with it?
The cap is flexible in the sense that only sold to the first buyer, the cap applies. Then people could resell it. So there are several clever countries which work as middlemen, and they will buy Russian oil cheap. Now Russia gives them discounts anyway. Turkey will be prominent in this respect. And then they will resell it at the world market price to the third world countries. So the idea is not to reduce the oil price all over the world. This is not impossible. The market, the supply, and the demand are playing their role. But the idea is to reduce Russians' ability to collect revenues from selling oil when oil is high. And this flexible rate will be set about $63-$64 per barrel. And the Russians will have a choice either to sell it at this price or not to sell it, in which place it will be stuck in their own storages.
And 63-64, my memory is when the war started, you reported that China was getting a discount. In fact, China being very good business people, they were showing up and saying, we'll buy your oil, but here's our price. Is that approximately where we are going to set this cap at, about in the $60 range?
That's the irony of it, that the countries that Russia was trading with, and countries that still were in good terms with Russia, India, China, Turkey, Malaysia, a few other Asian countries, they were already buying oil at this price because there was $25-$30 per barrel discount. The Russians were fine with it. So only the Europeans and the Japanese were paying the world market price. And now it will be all at this level, and there will be probably more discount for third world countries, and then they will resell it. It will be good for them. And the Europeans have already cut off most of the pipeline oil. Only Slovakia, Czechia, and Hungary will receive the pipeline oil from Russia. Well, everything else is cut off, and the seaborne oil will be purchased at this reduced price. But you asked how it will be enforced. And the key issue is insurance. because it's very dangerous business to ship oil all over oceans. And 90% of this kind of insurance for oil shipments is owned by and sold by European companies, and therefore it will be enforced, because without insurance, very few people would sell oil around the world.
I understand. Now we go to a report from Interfax. Moscow. The Central Bank of Russia has estimated that Russia's GDP will contract 4% year on year in the third quarter of 22 and in the area of 7.1% in the fourth quarter. Is this new, Michael? This, I don't remember these numbers. Is it sinking as they estimate?
There are several agencies in Russia which issue these projections and forecasts, and they're all in the ballpark. It's not the exact numbers. And nonetheless, the Central Bank and the Ministry of the Economy and the Russian Statistical Agency, they all issued those. And the most important feature of them all, where they're all in agreement, is acceleration. So it's not just that in one quarter and two quarters GDP declined, but it is going down at accelerating speed, getting worse and worse and worse. So the range projected for the first quarter is from 6.4 to 7.8%. This is huge. This is big. This is much bigger than the Great Recession was in the United States in 2008, 2009, or in Western Europe. So 4% for the third quarter, some around 7.5% for the third quarter, and another 4%, which is very optimistic, for 2023, which I write as optimistic because, like we said, there will be no oil. There will be very few revenues from oil and natural gas. There will be reductions of all the shipments. So 2023 will be even worse than 2022.
We go to reports from Moscow about consumer prices rising, what Reuters characterizes slightly, for the seventh consecutive week. This is inflation, but it's food security inflation. That certainly is a burden on the Russian consumer, not profound at this point. So I just want to mention, Michael, that I had a conversation with a young woman who lives in Moscow and shops. Things are expensive is the way she characterized it. Many of the malls are empty. And in order to get your goods and your food, you pay more at the counter. And that's not unusual. What I understand is that they're getting used to paying more for their goods. But that can't be an indefinite problem before the central bank has to act. Do you believe the central bank will be obliged to act soon enough, or is that a political decision?
No, the central bank is already reacting because the money supply has increased by 23 to 26%, according to the central bank itself, in the last few months and the previous and the same months of the previous year. So there will be more inflation in the future, but now they want to accommodate to pay higher wages, to pay higher pensions, and they have the outlays for mobilization because they are now issuing a one-time payment to people who are mobilized. But the important thing here is not just the price, but the volume. And now the recent number a few days ago from the state statistical agency is that the retail trade declined by 10% this year over the previous period of the same year. So not only things are more expensive, but because things are more expensive and because there are fewer things, people are buying fewer things.
Moscow, Russia's central bank said that the retail foreign currency deposits dropped to an historical low by the start of the fourth quarter. What does that mean, Michael?
Well, this means is that by their estimate, it used to be in March, foreign exchange deposits, both of households and companies were $288 billion, and now $144 billion. So for more than $100 billion decline, and this means capital outflow, that people use all sorts of possibilities to send the money abroad, or they withdraw cash and hold cash on the mattresses at home. This also increased because they used to have at home about $60 billion, now 83.5. Foreign exchange balances in foreign banks, not in Russia, increased by the Russians from $35 to $43 billion. So it is capital flight. People are flying away from the domestic currency, and they don't trust domestic banks because any moment the central bank restrictions will apply. They will be forcibly converted into the domestic currency, which is in inflation. They will lose money, so everyone runs away.
Michael Bernstam for the Hoover Institution on the sinking Russian economy in the near ninth month of the war. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.